Name one item in your closet that you'd rather trade a kidney for than give up.
My Saint Laurent silver bag that I got from Net-a-Porter 2 years ago on sale.
Hands down, who's your all-time favorite designer?
Saint Laurent, just super edgy and cool.
Which trend needs to die and never come back?
Ugh, those chunky sneakers, like the ones Balenciaga makes.
If you could lose yourself in any city shopping, which one would you choose?
New York, Soho.
And what's your favorite brick and mortar store?
I actually don't like shopping in stores. I'm all about online shopping.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, Tedra.
So today we're talking to Alyssa Melendez. She is the author, the blogger, basically the businesswoman behind thehotbrunette.com, which is H-A-U-T-E. Just get ready to be inspired by her. She's a fashion blogger that's turned her success into an influencer marketing agency. She's got a great passion for helping others, mainly in the micro-influencer business, but turning their platforms into a business.
We covered so much ground in this conversation, from her initial beginnings as a two-post food blogger. She then quickly moved into fashion, but she also shares lots of great tips about beauty, business, and especially travel, which I love.
What I really enjoyed about our conversation is she's really refreshing. She's honest. She's totally herself. We think you're going to love getting to know her just as much as we did.
You're listening to We Get to Know podcast, and for years, we have all been following some of the most inspiring bloggers and social media influencers. Simply put, we get inspired. The next best thing to following our favorite influencers is hearing their story straight from them. So listen in as we get to know Alyssa. Okay. Hi, Alyssa. We're so excited to have you here today.
Thank you. I am so excited to be with you guys.
Okay, good. So before we talk to you about fashion, I want to kind of get a bit of your background. You're a little bit different from some of our fashion guests, and we'll get to that later, but I want to talk to you. Where are you from?
I'm from San Diego.
Okay, and you're in New York now?
Yes, born and raised in San Diego. I left San Diego for, I don't know, 5 seconds a few times, but always kind of went back there, and then I finally made the move out to New York a few years ago.
So does California have your heart still?
No, not at all. I try not to go back there. I'm like trying to go east as often as I can, like over the other side of the ocean.
So do you still have family in California?
I do. I feel bad even saying that. I'd never want to go back. But, you know, the plane flies both ways. So if they want to see me, they can come out here.
So true. Okay. So Alyssa, you're in New York. Where did you go to school?
So I went to school in Arizona, and there's an ending to that question that's going to be a little bit later.
Okay. Okay. So you went to school in Arizona, and then how did you end up in New York?
It's a really interesting story. Technically, I'm here for love because I met someone who lives in New York, but it was kind of like, I was the kind of girl that was like, I'm not going to move anywhere for a man because I did that once before. And I was like, that didn't really end well.
Never works out.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was really kind of like sticking with that. But then I met someone in New York and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go out there. And I feel like this is going to be a really awesome career move. And now I have a reason to really do it. So my push was for love, but I'm telling you right now, my business and just where I am in life would not even be anywhere near the same if I didn't move here. So it was really kind of just a blessing all around. And now I'm here.
Okay. So when you moved to New York, were you already starting to blog in the fashion world or did that happen once you landed in New York?
I already had the blog for about a year and a half. And then I was working from home. So it was easy for me to make the transition. And then it wasn't until about a year here that I finally quit. I was selling insurance. We can talk about that at some other time.
That's a big transition.
Big transition. It allowed me to, you know, travel back and forth and just be really flexible with my time. And then finally, when I was like, this is just not for me. And I just branched off and kind of just quit that.
Let's talk about your blog for a second. Your blog is amazing. I feel like the first time I got on it, I was like, I don't even know where to go first. You have beauty, you have travel, you have lifestyle. So how did it all start? What did you start in? What is it, fashion that kind of started it? Or?
And you know what's funny is that I actually started it because I wanted it to be a cooking blog. And then I really, really, really quickly, I mean, after like two blog posts, realized that, you know, it really took the fun out of cooking when you have to write about it and all of that stuff. And it's really not easy to monetize. And, you know, I kind of went into blogging very business minded to begin with. I always treated it like a business. And I realized I'm like, I don't know how to monetize food. You know, I could talk about like tools, things like that, but I just don't know how to monetize that. It didn't really make sense to me. And then part of my inspiration to even start it was my cousin. She worked at a fashion PR house in LA. And she was like, Alyssa, you have to start a fashion blog. I love your outfits. And you're always on Instagram showing everybody. And I really think you need to do this. And I was like, I don't want to write about fashion. You know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And she's like, listen, things have changed. We don't gift celebrities anymore. We're gifting bloggers. So if you start a blog, I can gift you some clothes. And I was like,
I'm really? In.
I was like, yeah, okay. I was like, okay, I guess so. So I just started it. But then I was like, you know, it's going to be about food. And then maybe I'll just post some outfits. But then, you know, the food thing, it was pretty much over kind of from the beginning. I left it in there. But as far as fashion, it kind of just went from there.
Okay, I was going to say, I was on your website this morning and I clicked on recipes and you have some good ones up there.
Thank you. The year before I started my blog, I was in a really weird relationship. I actually moved somewhere for a guy and I was like kind of isolated and I wasn't really working. And so I had a lot of time to cook. And I'm really like seeing kind of like what I put in my food. And so I have no problem going to a restaurant and eating, you know, pasta and pizza and just about everything. But when it comes to actually making my own food, I have a real problem adding in things. You know, when you see how much like sugar goes into something or how much butter, you know, I really couldn't deal with that. So I was making really healthy food. And I was like, I should probably share this. I feel like people just don't know how to make healthy food that tastes really good. So, you know, when I cook at home, I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but the food is really good.
Okay. So that brings me to, I feel like you are so transparent, which I absolutely love. I mean, it's all about, I feel like you keep it so real with your stories. And I mean, what you just said about your food, you know, what you do to your face. Just yesterday, I think you were talking about your underarm fat, which I love. Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows what the armpit fat is, but like no one wants to talk about it.
I know. Well, half the stuff I feel like that we don't want to talk about and it's talked about and it's like, oh yeah, that's really not a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just think that, I don't know. I mean, I'm someone who's just not embarrassed easily. I realize that that's probably just a personality trait. So there are so many people that are really concerned about, you know, portraying this image. And yeah, you know, I love beautiful photos and I'm sure, you know, all the pretty photos that you see on the blog. Sure. I, you know, I wake up and I have zits and I don't do my hair and all of that kind of stuff. But like for the most part, I'm not really embarrassed about anything. So I don't mind sharing. You know, I've had people be like, oh, I can't believe you're saying that. And I'm like, it's real. I know everyone's thinking it. You know what I mean? And I'm
right.
People go online to find answers to things, right?
Well, and I think that being authentic,
yeah,
we can see it. And that's what I think draws your followers to you, that you, you know, you'll be their go-to because you're keeping it real. It's not your, you wake up and you look like this or you don't have any underarm pit fat.
Because we all do. Exactly. And if you don't, you know, good for you, but you know, for the rest of us.
Well, those people have something else, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Okay. So I want to talk about blogging into THB Marketing House. Give us the rundown on that because that's pretty amazing.
So kind of my struggle with blogging in the first place was after doing it for a while, I realized like, wow, this is all about me. You know, and it still is. And I'm, you know, you can't really move away from that when you have a personal blog, but it's always just like me, me, me.
All about me in a good way? Or was it?
I mean, I didn't feel like it was in a good way. There's really no way to change that when you have a personal blog. It's about your life. It's about what you like and what you're doing and all of this stuff. And I was like, gosh, I'm like talking about me all the time, you know? And then the other struggle, you know, so that kind of bothered me for a while. Probably about like 2 years in, I was like, this is just bothering me. And then the other thing was, is like, I'm not really making very much money doing this. I couldn't quit my job and certainly blog full time. So like, how am I going to make money? You know, I went into this not necessarily thinking I was going to make money doing my blog. I actually knew that. So my way kind of business-wise going into it was, I just need to get on the internet. And that was the goal. I said, you know, I don't know if I want to be a blogger, but I know that getting on the internet and showing my talents and my passions and just all of the above is going to bring opportunities to me. And so I kind of felt like it was the time for both of those things to intersect. And so my thought was, okay, I'm just going to, instead of brands partnering with me to promote their product, I'm going to offer services to them for their brand. That has really nothing to do with me, you know, because I've got the photography down, I've got the writing down, and trying to figure out ways that I can do this for other brands. And at the time, there was only like a few influencer agencies really out there. And of course, it's funny because when I launched, I was like, yeah, you know, I don't really have that much competition. There's really only a couple. I swear, in like the first 3 months, influencer agencies became a huge thing.
Wow.
Like huge. I mean, even now there's like thousands and thousands and thousands of them. So I don't really feel competition in that way, but it was funny because I was like, I have the best idea ever. You know? It was, but everyone else was actually thinking the same thing. Yeah. Kind of just started from there. And then, you know, I built a website really quickly on Squarespace, and I just started kind of like a sign-up sheet, you know, to sign up to be in the agency, to see how many influencers I could get to join. And then I could pitch to other brands. And I think like the first weekend I had like 300 influencers.
Wow.
Sign up, and I was like,
that is amazing.
Honestly, yeah. It just went from there. And then actually my first client was Kind Bars, which is freaking huge.
Oh, that is huge.
I charged them like literally, it's so funny. I probably shouldn't even say this out loud. I charged them $400. Like I charged them nothing. But I was like, I was so new and I didn't know what I was doing kind of, but I knew that they needed me. Like the new guy who was head of marketing, he was like, you know, in charge of some like nonprofit in DC. What does he know about influencer marketing? You know? And so he kind of came through a mutual contact and was just like, you know, I need help finding influencers. So I knew that there was a need for that. I just didn't know exactly kind of where it was going to go. And then it's just grown so much and it's amazing. And now I get to help influencers make money. That is like, to me, that is everything. So now the Hot Brunette is really kind of like a lead generation tool for me. So I stay relevant on the internet. I'm still talking to, you know, my followers and readers, but really it's just kind of like the backbone for THB Marketing House. And it allows me to, yeah, stay relevant and get clients and kind of just help everybody in the community make some money. We all want to make money, right? That's the goal. So,
okay. I think this is so, I mean, I hearing you talk about the idea, the inception of it, it's genius. And then the fact that within, you know, months or under a year that there were thousands of marketing agencies that jumped on board, because it is, I mean, influencers, and this is kind of my next question. There are so many influencers out there. I mean, so many. And at some point the market may or may not become saturated, but like what makes an influencer, like what gives them the step up that, you know, others for some reason can't?
I think that it's just, it's funny because I feel like it's, that's not the right question to ask almost. I mean, yeah, it is, but it is completely saturated, right? And like everyone can be a blogger or everyone thinks that they can be a blogger. And I just think that the real difference between being influential and let's say not, I guess, or successful or however you want to rate success in this industry is really based on like how you perceive the industry. Like, so for example, there's so many girls and even in THB Marketing House and, you know, definitely not putting anybody down, but people think that like the business plan is posting photos on Instagram and like the goal is likes and comments. I mean, if you look at the most successful bloggers and influencers, there are very, very, very few that is like their only kind of like revenue source. And those are usually like viral. That's an exception to the rule. That's not the thing. Like, but then you look at the most successful girls that have like branched into something else. They've written a book. They've started a clothing line. They have a genuine community of females or males or whoever the person is. So like it is a real business and there's so much to it. There's so much more than just writing a blog post and posting on Instagram. And I think the people that will find success are going to realize that it's just not enough, but that's what you see. So like people think, oh, you know, blogging is so easy. Like, what do you, you know, or maybe it's, oh, it looks really time consuming, but all they think you're doing is really just writing and posting photos, but it's just so much more than that. And for the girls that are putting in the extra work to make it more than that, they are going to see success. And those are the real influencers. You know, you can be popular on Instagram, but who knows how long that's going to be.
Right. Well, I think too, like you hit it when you said it's a genuine connection with your audience.
Yeah.
That's not there so much on Instagram. I mean, it can be genuine in a lot of ways, but when you branch out and do something, you know, apart from that is where I think it really makes such a difference.
Yeah. It's just really not enough to be a blogger anymore. Or you know what I mean? Like, it's just not. And it used to be, and those people are killing it. But even then, those people that were just bloggers are not just bloggers anymore. So it's like, you just got to pay attention and really do research. And, you know, anybody can do it. The internet is a big place. There is room for everybody. And yeah, you just got to find your place.
So how many micro influencers do you currently work with?
Currently around 3,000.
Wow.
I think it might be a little
bit more. And anyone can sign up.
I probably know a good answer to that.
And anyone can sign up.
Anybody. Because, I mean, like, I was once an influencer with no influential power at all, with 800 followers or, you know, and like 100 blog views a month. So I do want to be there for those people. And also, things are really shifting. Brands are really looking for engagement. And actually, influencers with like under 5,000 followers have incredible engagement because they actually know these
right.
people. You know,
that
like
is so true.
Your first few thousand followers are likely people you've actually met in your life. So, you know, those are people that are actually going to buy from you. So, yeah, everybody's included.
Okay. So, Alyssa, a real quick question that's off this topic, but have you always been this entrepreneurial?
Yes and no. Yes, but no, because I maybe didn't realize it. I just thought I was being crazy, but I've always kind of done my own thing. So yes, but I just didn't really realize what was happening.
Yeah. Okay. So I would like to know, what is like your typical work day? Let's start from scratch.
It's really just, I swear, like 15 hours or more staring at my computer. I don't wake up early. That's like 100% because I stay up really, really late. So yeah, I wake up. First thing I do is I look at my phone, which is, I know, a really bad habit. And I'm kind of trying to break out of that. But I look at my phone and then I'm like, uh-oh, I have to respond to something. So I get on my computer and then I literally do not stop until probably like 9 p.m. And then I realize, holy shit, you haven't brushed your teeth today. And then, you know, and then I'll be like, okay, maybe I should just skip it. I don't know, because it's already late. And then I'll feed myself. You know, I do sometimes make a break for like coffee. Like I'll be like, oh my God, I need coffee. But sometimes I will just be going and I just can't stop. Even sometimes feeding the dog, which takes literally 2.5 seconds, seems like 2 seconds that I just can't give up. And I just go, 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 go. Those are days that I don't have meetings. And I try to put all my meetings in one day because I feel like it's just really hard to get around in New York. And I don't know how people do it, go from like, or how people have like 3 or 4 meetings in a day. Just traveling around New York is like not, I don't know how to do it, I guess, or something, because it's like basically becomes like a wasted day.
Yeah.
So I'm basically just tied to my computer. And yeah, it's really boring. I wish I could be more exciting, but it's just not. It's just strapped.
Well, no, I actually think that you're very exciting. So I want to touch on, you love to travel. And I think I read you called yourself a hustler. You have somehow perfected travel, luxury travel almost, and without breaking the bank. So how have you done this?
Okay. So the first thing was, my first like education and traveling on a budget was really to depend on miles. And the thing is that, I mean, the mileage retention program has changed for like every airline since I wrote that post. So it's actually a bit harder to do that. But I would like spend money, like, you know, maybe I found a flight that was like $400, but then there was one that was like $800, but it was like with American Airlines. I would purposely buy that flight because I knew that I was going to get a ton of miles from it and I could use it for a future flight. So really I wasn't paying as much. So I kind of paid it forward a little bit. I never did this, but like if you have an airline credit card, you can basically travel for free on miles. So the major airlines, they travel all over the world. That's an incredible, incredible way to do it. Hotel Tonight is... Do you know what this is?
I just learned of this. I've not used it yet, but I just heard of it. And I think, well, okay, tell me like how has that worked for you? Because I like cannot wait to try and use it.
Okay. I just feel like you have to just, first things first, before you even do it, you need to just like chill and be like, okay, there's always somewhere to stay. Unless you're traveling during the Super Bowl or like a crazy conference, which you should probably just figure out before you travel somewhere, because that will make a big difference on any sort of accommodations, whether it's through Hotel Tonight or regular. But if you just like kind of just trust that you won't be like homeless, you know, I mean, it's not a big deal. Hotel Tonight, you can book, like I think even a month in advance, but it is way cheaper if you book the night of. So what I do is I just kind of land somewhere and I book my hotel like for that day or for that night. And you can book it for a long period of time. So it's not like you can just book one night at a time, but it's just cheaper. So like even when I was, okay, so when I was in Dubai, I used it twice. I actually switched hotels because I didn't like the first one. The average hotel was like, I don't know, like $500 or $600 a night. And I was staying at, you know, a beachfront resort for, you know, $199. One of them was like $199 and the other one was like $235. And they were beautiful hotels. I've never stayed in a shitty hotel and I've like never paid more than like maybe $300. Like $300 would be like a stretch, especially if you're going for a long time. When I was in Spain, I went to almost every city, like major city in Spain for over 2 weeks. And I never paid more than $150 for a hotel. And I stayed in 5 stars the whole time.
Using this app?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Boston, I've used it. I've used it in Cancun. Yeah, it's pretty much everywhere. There's a lot of places it's not available, but those are honestly more like remote places. Like high tourist areas have it. So
it would be my luck to try to use it for the first time and land somewhere where they don't have that.
I know. And I just think it's like, I don't know why, but it's just so easy. I mean, it just charges you. I always feel like nervous when I book a hotel because I'm always like, okay, it says it's this price, but then there's like the luxury fee and all this fee. And then when you get there, you got to pay some more fees and like all of this stuff. And then when you get there, you don't have to pay anything extra. So whatever you paid on your app, you're like good to go. And they just like do it with your Apple Pay and you're done. And it's just so seamless. So that is an amazing way to save money on travel. I'm not really picky with flights. So I think you can use this app called, or a website called SkipLagged or something. And what it does is it breaks down like certain legs of your trip. My biggest advice for saving money on long travel is to find cheap flights, but like buy them, like how you would have maybe a layover instead of buying that whole route is that you would buy them separately. So just like getting over to Europe, you can buy a really cheap flight straight there, but then you can commute really inexpensively across Europe. Like I think I flew to London for, I don't know, $350 to Gatwick Airport. And then from there, I bought a $79 ticket to Greece.
Wow.
So that ticket normally is like almost, I would say like really even the cheapest, probably like $1,600 round trip. And I paid like $1,000. I swear I've not paid more than $1,000 round trip for a Europe vacation, like ever.
I mean, I need to call you. I was just actually telling Tedra that we were looking to go to Spain. And I was like, I cannot get over the price of the ticket right now.
Oh my gosh, you have to go.
Yeah, I'm not clearly looking at the right website, but
you can fly anywhere. I think you can probably search this, but find the cheapest route to Spain and then you can take the Renfe train. I mean, just you can make sure that it's like goes to the city that you're flying to, but it usually goes to almost all of them. And it's a really nice train. The trains in Europe are nice. They're not like these weird ones that we have here.
Okay, I'm getting on it. Okay, so when you travel, how are you fitting in work?
I think the better question is, when are you fitting in fun? Like the photos, I swear, yeah, it looks like the photos, obviously I take a photo on the beach. I'm not like taking a photo of me like all like red-eyed and like frizzy hair, like on my computer tapping away like at a weird hour. But like, so it looks like, you know, I'm just, you know, out in the desert and out in the beach and like having a great time the whole time. But really that's like actually usually a very small portion of my time when I'm traveling. So it kind of just like, you know, you can't have it all. And I feel like the path that I've chosen, I can travel and do all of these things, but you know, it's never a vacation and I'm pretty much working the whole time. And the kind of the nice part about being on a time difference is that I can go and have fun on maybe the, during the hours where I don't have an influx of email traffic. So I don't feel like super guilty about having a good time midday when I'm traveling. So, you know, I've chosen this life and this is what it is. And, you know, I can, instead of complaining about it, I could just travel and have semi vacation, you know?
I know, but I think that that is such, it's so refreshing because people that do look at your Instagram or others and it's like such FOMO of, oh my gosh, you're just in Dubai and you're going, you know, to Spain or whatever. And it's refreshing to know that, you know, building something, it's not easy. It takes work. You have to put in the time. You know, it's not just what it looks like on social media.
I know. It's really hard to convey that too. I try to do it as best I can, but I know that looking at my feed, if someone didn't really, you know, maybe watch my stories or read my blog or know anything about my business, they'd be like, wow, she's just this really fabulous influencer and she's just traveling and having a good time like 24 hours a day, you know?
Yeah.
And it's all cool,
no, you're right.
So not it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to convey that too. Like, how are you real? It's really, really hard to. That, I swear, that is the most difficult part of it.
Well, how do you do it?
I don't know. I don't think I do. I don't think I do a good job of it, actually, because I do feel like that's the vibe. I feel like unless you really, really pay attention, like you watch my stories, or maybe you're an influencer that's in THP Marketing House that hears from me all the time and just, you know, I'm clacking away at my email at them all day, that you really don't know. And so I guess, you know, that's kind of on my to-do list to be a little bit, figure out a way to make that more transparent, but it's really difficult.
Well, I loved hearing it. I love hearing that. It's work. And I just think it's an important message. Okay. So before I pass it to Tedra, tell me what is like next on your bucket list? What travel place or places?
Oh my gosh. Well, I am going to New Zealand next week, which I've always wanted to do. You know, honestly, so Australia was really on my next thing. And I was supposed to be in Australia, but like being in Dubai and being on, I think it was a 9-hour time difference was really, really, I think it was more than that actually. I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I think it's a complete switch, isn't it?
Okay. So like that was hard. And I had so many weird dramas with work and it was very stressful. I really honestly had a relaxing time, like the last 2 days of my like 10-day trip. So it was not relaxing. Would definitely go back and redo it again, but figure out a way to kind of just chill out. The time difference was too hard. And so next week I was supposed to be in Australia and New Zealand, but I just cut it short and I'm going straight to New Zealand because I really want to go there and I feel like it's a good opportunity to go, but definitely Australia. That whole thing next week, I'm going to be on a 14-hour time difference. I don't even know what day it is. I have no idea. Like, you guys, I don't know if I'm traveling.
You'll come back to normal in August.
Or if it's even like going to be May or June or what month it's going to be Monday.
I was just saying, I know. You'll be back to normal maybe by August.
Yeah, maybe. So.
Okay, speaking of New Zealand, I just saw in your stories, which I thought was so funny. You were shopping, getting ready for your trip, and you bought a bunch of bathing suits.
Not a clue. The funny thing is that I bought my ticket seriously 3 days ago. And I was super on the fence about the whole thing because I missed Penny so much. I mean, my dog, it was like painful for me to be away from her for 2 weeks. And so I was like, I just want to go home. I don't want to travel, or I'm going to go somewhere where I can take her. It's going to be fine. I'm just not going to go. But then, you know, then I was getting FOMO about New Zealand and I was like, no, I should just go. I should just buy it. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm thinking we're going to go wine tasting there. That was kind of like the whole trip idea. And I was like, it's going to be so warm. I'm going to be like maybe in a half bathing suit or like drinking my wine or taking a dip in the water. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's like storming and freezing down there. Sure. It's freaking winter. Are you kidding?
Oh, that is so funny. Okay. Well, safe travels. It's going to be fun no matter what. You can bring a warm cover up.
I know. Now I'm like, okay, now I have to unpack all of the cold clothes that I just packed up, but that's okay.
Oh, all right. Tedra, do you have any follow-up questions for Alyssa?
Yeah, I have a couple. So look, if I don't know anything about THB Marketing House and I'm looking to be a client, like tell me like, what would I expect if I'm your client?
Basically, as a client perspective, it's really just contact with influencers, but it's really kind of just like a boutique agency. So it's a digital marketing agency, but I don't really focus on traditional PR methods. I feel like if that's what someone's really interested in, which by the way, is like not really even a thing anymore, like press releases are basically dead and, you know, all that jazz. But if that's what they're looking for, there's like a million PR agencies that have been around for, you know, years and years that can do all of that for you. Whereas I feel like if you really want some awesome influencers to promote your brand, you know, that's what I can provide. Also, if they're in New York, it's usually a lot better because we can do events and just, you know, more one-on-one activations and things like that. But it's typically just for brands that are looking for a personalized touch to getting in touch with influencers where they don't want to use those like automated programs where they kind of have to sift through manually, or they have to hire someone who's going to charge them like a crazy amount of money because they've developed some tech or algorithm that's going to search out influencers for them. So I pretty much have a very personal relationship with almost every girl that is in the agency. So I don't hire people. Everyone is allowed to join. Not everyone obviously gets hired because I can't do that. I wish I could. It's really a lot of handpicking and understanding kind of what the client needs and who the best fit is going to be.
Okay. Yeah, that gives me a better understanding. I wasn't exactly sure how it all worked. So that makes perfect sense. And then I also noticed that you tried the vampire facial. What did you think of that?
Oh my God. First of all, I'm so sick and tired of people not disclosing how painful things are. I'm so done with it. You have no idea. Like the microblading eyebrows thing. Uh-huh. Those are okay. And the vampire facial. These are two things that I did. I don't research anything. I'm very like, I just want to be surprised. Like I do this when I travel. I do this like in an interview. Like I do this all the time. And it's just kind of like a thing. And these are two things that I actually researched. And not one place said that it's going to be the most excruciating pain of your entire life. Like,
wow,
it's bad. But I will tell you that the results were incredible. But yeah, because I did not see anywhere that talked about this until they had a needle like 1 centimeter away from my eyeball. But basically they re-inject your plasma like under the, you know, like the really tender part underneath your eye, like yeah, before your cheek starts, like that little kind of moon shape that you have under there. They actually take a needle and they fully inject, like, so it becomes really puffy. Like they fill it with your own plasma. So you can barely open your eyes because it's just so full, but it goes down like, I don't know, it really in a matter of minutes. But that is so creepy to have a needle, like literally in your eyeball is what it's like. And you have to keep your eyes open because they can't like do it with your eyes closed. So you have to keep your eyes open. So you're literally just watching this needle going like really close. But that I feel was amazing because I don't want to say sunken in a little bit, but a tiny bit. And that was super full for like 6 months.
Wow.
And it works. It's not like a regular procedure where it like Botox or I guess not Botox, but like maybe fillers where it's immediate and then it goes away. The plasma, it works over time to improve your skin. Like they actually injected it. They'll inject it in your problem areas. So it just really kind of depends on your face. But I had like one scar on my cheek. It was actually fairly new. It was just a zit that I had had that just scarred. I scar really easily and they injected it and it was gone in like a week. It was crazy. Wow.
So a lot of pain, but worth it. It sounds like, I guess the results.
Definitely worth it. But it's just, I even had, I think 45 minutes of pain numbing cream. It's pretty bad.
What's one or two great tips that you could share with everybody?
The best advice I can give is to just not care what other people think. I know that sounds really generic, but people can say all they want, you know, I don't care what people think of me or I'm not kind of just like beating to the tune of my own drum or whatever, but societal pressures are real and they exist. And whether you think you're being affected by them or not, a lot of the times, like I think decisions that we make as an entrepreneur in business, in relationships and all of that are sometimes affected by societal pressures. And I feel like for me, that was my biggest challenge. And it still kind of is in a couple of ways. I just think you got to just do what you feel is right. And don't be afraid to take risks because the Instagram looks beautiful, but I've had some incredibly humbling experiences and I just wouldn't be here if I didn't kind of like risk everything to get here. And I feel like it can be scary and going in the other direction, doing what you want to do is always the right choice. So that's definitely the best advice I can give.
So if I call you at 9 a.m. on any given day, what are you most likely doing?
Sleeping. I don't get up until 10.
What is something people would be surprised to know about you?
That I didn't graduate from college. That's always a real shocker.
Yeah, especially with your business mind, I think. But you know what? A lot of people that really have succeeded, they don't have that traditional college experience, you know? So
yeah, I also feel like it's funny because I really haven't mentioned it a whole lot before because I just feel like it's not something you advertise. But I thought that I actually want to maybe kind of just in a really natural way kind of express that a little bit more because I put myself into kind of like a bit of a box when I dropped out of school. Like, I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do that. And I had a lot of like negativity around that. And I feel like when I hear from people that also have dropped out of school and maybe haven't found their path yet, they are also putting themselves in those boxes just by the way that they're communicating and talking about, you know, what they want to do. And they feel like maybe they can't do things and it's just not true. And again, that's a societal thing. Yeah. I mean, you can't go out and be a lawyer if you don't graduate from school or like you can't go out and get a corporate job, but it just really, it's not as limiting, I think, as people think, especially with this kind of like new wave of entrepreneurial internet jobs. You know what I mean? Like you can make money doing anything. anything.
Right.
The education should never stop, even if you drop out of school. So even just like little things that you can do to keep yourself kind of on the brink of new discoveries, I guess, like online or whatever you're researching and or trying to do is always really good.
So when you unplug at the end of the day, how do you like to decompress?
That's a really good question. I feel like I need to ask someone else that because I don't have a way. I have nothing. I have nothing to tell you for that.
Who are three people that you love to follow on Instagram?
All of the Kardashians. I just love them. But more like Kardashian clips. I follow these accounts that are Kardashian follower accounts. And they show like tons of clips from the show. So I follow those more than I think the actual accounts. So I just kind of like seeing that for whatever reason. I never can pronounce her name right, but Chiara Ferragni, the blonde salad. I love her. And Ellen. I love Ellen. And I like watching all of her clips from her show.
So name one book that you cannot currently put down.
That is going to be a toughie for me because I haven't read a book since like 2012.
What was I was asking? I was thinking like you have the time to read.
No. I mean, I can listen, you can make time for things that are really important to you. Reading has never been like something that I was super, super into. So I don't, but the last book I read was life-changing. Honestly, I would recommend it for anybody who's ever read it is like obsessed with it. It's called Many Lives, Many Masters. And it's just like, I don't even know if you guys want to know, like I can go into kind of, it's basically like, it's a true story. And it's this doctor, he was a therapist and he had this patient who had like really bad anxiety and she could not get help. Like she was on medication. She went to different doctors and she was just like over the top anxious and just had all of these kind of emotional problems that she just couldn't get rid of. So she was recommended to go to this doctor and he sees her and, you know, he tries to help her for a while and a lot doesn't really happen. So he's like, you know, I'll just try kind of like a hypnosis on you and see kind of what happens. He's thinking that maybe something from her past, like maybe her early childhood was something that was really affecting her that maybe she forgot or blocked out. So he kind of takes her on this path and is like, okay, you know, go back into your past and try and remember something. And she's like, okay, you know, when I was 10 years old, blah, blah, he's like, okay, no, go further, go further, go further. And then all of a sudden she is like talking about some weird ass shit, like from another time. And he's like, okay. So it kind of wakes her up and he's like, that was really weird. So they do it again and it keeps happening. And they go into like this really long story about basically they go through like different lives. This person had different lives and she like knew all of the same people in other lives. And she knew things about his life that were like extremely private and like no one ever knew about. And like every time she would like pass away in her other life, she would go into like this place and she would like actually relay messages from like this like kind of like space place basically. And the point is it all sounds really crazy, but this guy is super famous. He has like done past life regression on all of these other people. And, you know, I try to believe as much as I can because, you know, I want to believe that everything that happened is true because, you know, again, I guess this guy is really, I guess this really did happen. But I think for me, kind of like what I took from it was that like for this person who this was supposedly happening to, each life, like she had like a goal and she knew kind of like what her goal was before she would like enter into this new life. And it was like to learn something that she didn't learn in her past life. And so for me, it was like, you know, if this is my only life, I have to learn and do as much as I possibly can to be like the best person at the end, because there's so many people that just don't learn anything in life. And I'm sure, you know, kind of, you know, you probably think of a couple who are just like not progressing emotionally or just not learning anything. And I think that that is kind of just something really interesting to take from that. So I've read it 3 times. It was really good.
Okay. So describe your perfect day.
My perfect day is really kind of just a simple day. It would be a Saturday for sure. I like to wake up really late. So like between 11 and 1 p.m. on a Saturday, wake up, have coffee, get on my computer. I love to work on Saturdays because there's no emails that are like flooding in. And it's just such a good time to get all of the stuff done that you wanted to get done during the week that you didn't have a chance to. So I'd really kind of just like have a relaxing work day, go out for a walk, you know, go have some wine, go to dinner and like go to bed. That's like the perfect day for me.
What city has you shedding a tear when you have to leave?
Oh, Madrid.
Do you have a current Netflix addiction?
Oh, I have like a whole list, but I really like a Santa Clarita Diet right now. It's really cute and funny. And I'm really waiting for the OA to come back. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's so good. Grace and Frankie's really good. I just like mysteries. So like anything with like just a little bit of mystery is really interesting to me. Stranger Things, obviously. I mean, who doesn't like that? But yeah, I love everything on Netflix. Oh, Orange is the New Black, of course. Can't wait for that to come back.
So what's a favorite beauty product that you have in your bag at all times?
Lip gloss or chapstick. I can't go without it. I have a psychotic thing about it. One time I was at the movie theaters and I didn't have any chapstick with me. And I was like freaking out. I'm like, I do not know how I'm going to get through the next 2 hours without chapstick because my lips were dry. I actually asked the guy, it was one of those like luxury cinemas. I asked somebody for olive oil. I was like, can you go get me some olive oil? He's like, what? I was like, I know this is like really just a weird question, but can you go get some olive oil for me? I just need it for something. And I used it on my lips. So yeah, lip gloss or chapstick always.
Who would you love to have coffee with?
My younger self. I don't have anybody that I'd really want to have coffee with, honestly. I know that sounds really weird, but I'd have like a chat with my younger self if I possibly could and just like tell them some tips.
Do you live by a motto?
Get over it.
Do you have a celebrity crush?
Yes. This is going to be weird, but because you know, I'm into men, but I'm really into, what's her name? Rose. She's like the girl that's on Orange is the New Black.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I don't know her name. Cause she was just at the Met Gala.
I'm obsessed with her. And why am I blanking out on her name right now? I can't even think about it. Okay, whatever. But I'm a diehard Leo fan, like diehard Leo fan. And then I'll think of her name, but I'm following her on Instagram. And sometimes I just sit there on Instagram and I literally think to myself, I would definitely become a lesbian. If she said to me like, hey, I'm into you, I'd be like, okay, fine. I'm into you as well. And like, let's do this. Like, I've never thought about a woman in that way before, but I literally, with her, I'm just like, I could definitely go the other way.
She's your definite girl crush then.
100%.
So what song do you have currently on repeat?
This is really weird. I have not even listened to music in so long. I can't even think of a song.
So what meal would you choose if it was your last meal?
Ooh. My mom is enchiladas.
What's the best gift you've ever received?
Penny. Penny was a gift, my dog.
What's the best gift you've ever given?
I don't even know. I can't even think of anything. Oh, a surprise party.
Oh, that's fun.
That actually was a really great gift. It was the best. For my boyfriend, the first year we were together, I didn't know what to get him. And it was kind of just like, what do you get someone who kind of has everything? And I threw him a surprise party and he was so over the moon. Like he talked about it for a year and was like, basically, that's the reason why I fell in love with you. I was like, oh, thank you.
What's the last thing you Googled?
What the time difference is between Sydney, Australia and Dubai.
If you could say like, what's the greatest life advice someone's ever given you, what would that be?
My old roommate's dad, I was going through a really hard time a few years ago, like in 2011, 2012, where I was kind of just like sorting out what I wanted to do with my life. And he was like, he came to me and basically just said, you know, you're going to have a lot of adversity in your life, but the strength that you have during the adversity that you're facing will change you and it will make you so much better. And I know that sounds kind of generic, but the way that he said it kind of just like really, really stuck with me ever since then, actually. When anything bad or I feel like might be bad is happening to me, my brain automatically thinks of all of the positive things that have come out of it or will have come out of it. Like, I can't even think negatively about bad things anymore because of this just little piece of advice that he gave me. But, you know, there's always something good when something bad happens. So that was the best for sure.
That's pretty valuable. I mean, that had a big impact. If I can do
really
that
big. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Alyssa, tell us like, where can we find you online and also on social media?
So on social media, you can find me at The Hot Brunette. It's not H-O-T. It's H-A-U-T-E, The Hot Brunette. Hout, some people say it, The Hot Brunette. And my blog is thehotbrunette.com, but also thbmarketinghouse.com is my influencer agency website. So, you know, if anyone is an influencer looking to just, you know, join a really great community, that is the place to go. There's a sign up sheet right on the front homepage. So it's right there.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we just want to thank you for your time today. And I think I would say we probably covered so much information in this podcast. You know, sometimes you start off thinking it's just all going to be about fashion, and then you learn so many things about travel or, you know, tips or a great book. So appreciate all your input today and just being a guest.
Thank you. It was so nice to do this. And thank you guys so much for having me.
By the way, I just ordered that book while we were talking.
You're going to love it. You're going to get through it in 2 days.
I know. I mean, you explained it so well. I cannot wait.
Okay. Well, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Tedra, I love talking to Alyssa. I thought she was such an amazing guest.
Me too.
Okay. So now let's talk about us, maybe. Let me ask you, who is your celebrity crush?
Okay. Well, I have a new one. So I'm kind of excited about this. Because okay. If you asked me a month ago, it'd be different. And maybe next month I'll answer it again. But today it's Taylor Kitsch. Do you know who that is?
No.
So he's an actor. He basically he's done lots of things. But what I'm doing right now is I'm binging Friday Night Lights. Okay. And he's in that show. And oh my gosh, he is like the cutie of all cuties. I mean, and I hate the idea that he's like a high school student in the role, but I know in my mind he's not a high school student. So I feel fine about this crush.
So has he been in anything else?
Yeah, he's been in, actually the most recent thing he did was a miniseries. Well, it was about the Waco shootout, the David Koresh.
Oh, right.
Was it David Koresh?
Yeah, David Koresh.
But he's been in like some really great movies too. So yeah, I'm going to probably end up.
What's his name again?
Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch. Okay, I'll have to check him out.
Yeah. Okay, Julie. So tell me, what meal would you choose as your last meal?
Oh, this is easy. Sushi all the way.
Oh, when you said it was easy, I thought like, what would it be? And then as soon as it came out of your mouth, I was like, of course.
Yes, I would eat that and be happy to have that be my last.
Mm. You do love your sushi.
I sure do.
We want to thank you for listening today. And if you like the show, we would love for you to head over to iTunes and give us a positive review. You can find us at wegettoknow.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, and on social media at wegettoknow. Head over to Instagram. We would love to hear from you and get your opinions on guests and show ideas. Our music is provided by the talented Blake Outwell of Studio 1916. Until next time, take care as we continue to get to know all of our favorite influencers and bloggers. Hey, Julie.
Hey, Tedra.
So today on the show, we're talking to Alyssa Melendez. She is from The Hot Brunette, which is H-A-U-T-E. The Hot Brunette, I mean, listen.
Shoot. Tedra, that was an amazing conversation with Alyssa. She was a really awesome guest. Okay, so now I want to learn a little bit about you. Who is your celebrity crush? What is your celebrity crush?
Sorry, I typed it wrong.
Tedra, I love talking to Alyssa. I thought she was amazing and so informed. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear all about her story. I think she was awesome.
But they just did hear about it.
Oh, fudge. Okay.